Welcome one, welcome all to the Air Raid Podcast presented by View of the Matadors and SB Nation. You are on once again with your boy, I'll Be Sure, back like I never left. And as always, I got my guys with me. First off, I want to talk to my producer, Dylan Smythe, my right-hand man. What's up, man?
What is up, everybody, Red Raider Nation? The people have spoken. We're talking basketball today.
Basketball. If we're talking basketball, that means that I got to have my other man, my left-hand man, I guess. That kind of gets a little weird. Jacob Harris, what's up, Jake?
You know what's up, everybody? You do know I am left-handed, right?
Oh, see, there you go. See, yeah. So I knew this. That's why, you know, that's why it works, yeah. Right? And so like Dylan said, we talked a lot of baseball already, you know, with us making the top four of the College World Series. As you know, everybody, we always like to talk a good amount of football, but football season's not here yet. And we've become a basketball school, or in every other sport but football school. So let's talk about some basketball. With the additions to the roster, with how, you know, Beard is basically James Naismith reincarnated. Let's talk about some of the additions that we have going forward. Jacob, what are some of the key additions that you see to this team that you're going to see in the fall?
I mean, I think the two that you're going to see most often are the two grad transfers, Chris Clark and TJ Holyfield. I mean, Clark's coming off an injury, but I think you're going to really get a good mix of defense with him and some explosive athleticism. And Holyfield's pure stretch five, man. He's a good rebounder. He can shoot from almost anywhere on the floor. And, you know, we'll all probably remember him from the NCAA tournament in 2018. So I think those two are the main two he got coming in this summer from a grad transfer standpoint.
So with Holyfield, one thing I found interesting is that his former head coach said that he may be the greatest player in SFA history, which now SFA is not this like powerhouse, but to be the greatest player in anything, in any program, any D1 program, is pretty incredible. So the fact that we're going to get that guy is saying a lot. And so what about Dylan? You got two guys that you're looking forward to coming in?
You know, the grad transfers are an easy answer because they're most likely to play. TJ Holyfield's going to start.
Shots fired at.
No, I'm just saying like those. That's the correct answer if you want
to dig deeper, Jacob.
No. I got you. It's fine. I do want to talk about TJ Holyfield. I believe he's either the single season leader in blocks or the all time leader in blocks in SFA history. It's one of the two. I can't remember which one.
I think it's all time.
I think it is too. And so. Chris Beard is bringing in guys who fit his profile. They're athletic, they're versatile, they're switchable, and that's what Chris Clark is too. But I really think TJ Holyfield's going to make an immediate impact. And then I really like Tyreek Smith, a freshman who's coming in, not a grad transfer. He's not going to start, but he's going to play valuable minutes off the bench, and he fits Chris Beard's profile. Just athletic, likes to play defense, gets after it, rim protector. Like He's going to be a good player for Chris Beard. Maybe not next season, but the season after that, no doubt.
So I'm just not talking about my boy here because we talked about.
I'm about to say, Jamias.
Jamias Ramsey is, come on now. He's the best recruit Tech's ever gotten. I think he's going to be one and done. I think he's going to be the star of the team next year. I think he's a beast, and he's the guy that I've been so excited. He's and you know me being a Tech fan, I'm obviously have anxiety because I feel like we don't deserve good things. So whenever he committed, because he committed a long time ago, it's not like some of these other recruits that were, you know, we go to the Final Four and they're like, oh, they start looking at Tech a little bit more or stuff like that. Jamias Ramsey committed to Tech in his junior season. Like, he's been committed to Tech for a long time. So for me, I'm the whole time thinking he's going to decommit and go to Duke eventually, right? Like that's just bound to happen. But he's not. He's on campus, and I'm so excited for him to be on, ready to go. Another guy I'm excited to be ready, and I'm actually not going to say Terrence Shannon, who's also, if Ramsey's the best recruit in Tech history, Terrence Shannon's probably top three, right? But I'm actually excited for Rustin Tuchua because I want to see how much better he's gotten. Reports is when he first committed to Tech, and actually it still says here that he is a three-star, you know, just top 500 player, which is roughly about where Tech recruits usually are. But reports have it that he's gotten that much better to where I think he's now a 4-star on ESPN. He's packed on the muscle now. From what I read, he's now about 230. He's a legit 7-footer. So I want to see just how much better Tuchu has gotten. He was a guy that was recruited on as a high potential prospect, but a guy that wasn't really going to play a lot early on. Well, he's gotten that much better already. Maybe we will see him his freshman year. What do y'all think?
I think I can agree with you completely. Just from the pictures in the film that I've seen of him from whenever he first committed, it's kind of like he's kind of like a 2-year stash player. Just kind of like we're going to let him build his muscle. But looking at pictures from since he's been on campus, like you can see the dude's ripped. He's put on a lot of muscle. From you know what I've heard, he's got a little bit more agile. I think he'll be a really, really good rim protector for Chris Beard.
Yeah, and I think Albie said it. Like he was a project originally when we took him on board, but he's worked at it. And I don't know if he's gonna start. I really think TJ Holyfield's gonna start. But I do like what he brings in terms of rim protection. You saw how big rim protection was with Tariq Owens. And when Tariq Owens was out, how big of a hole that was that we didn't have rim protection. So rim protection is huge with Chris Beard and what he wants to do on the basketball court.
So let's try to predict the roster that we'll see in November. So now with some of the guys that we talked about and some other guys that weren't really mentioned that are going to be coming on, we do have Terrence Shannon, the 6'6 wing player from Florida, 4-star athlete. We also have Clarence Nadal.
He's French, apparently.
We were talking pre-pod about how he likes everybody to know that he's French. He wears French t-shirts everywhere he goes. He has a French flag everywhere he goes. So, but he's also another 4-star guard, combo guard. Joel Ntambwe actually trends. I'm extremely excited about Ntambwe, but we won't see him till November 2020.
Suck it, UNLV.
You know, but I'm extremely excited for him. He's another 6'9" guy. He was one of their best players at UNLV last year. And it's now transferring. So that's something that's going to be excited for. And then I will be remiss if I don't mention the Russian that Jeremy loves so much. 6'9", Andrei Savrasov. I don't really know what to expect from him. He reminds me a lot of the Darko of the past type of players, right? But big body, big guy, knows the game of basketball. And then, of course, Kevin McCullough, who's already been on campus for a year now. So with all those new guys coming in, you know, and I'll let you start, Dylan. Try to. What do you think the roster is going to look like as far as starting five guys you expect to get a lot of playing time? What do you think?
I think it's pretty wide open at this point, but I also think I have a pretty good idea. You have to keep in mind that Chris Beard values experience. That being said, Jameis Ramsey is our starting point guard. Give me Moretti at shooting guard because of experience. I would say Deshaun Corprew at small forward, but that's kind of up in the air. So because we don't know much about that situation, I'm going to go ahead and say McCullers. He doesn't have experience, but like you said, he's been on campus for a year now. So McCullers at small forward, and then the four. Who starts at the four? Someone help me out here.
Savrasov has been on campus for a year as well.
No, it's not Savrasov. I'll just go ahead and say Tyreek Smith at the four.
Give me
Holyfield at the five. That's my starting lineup.
That's what I'm talking about.
And then sixth man is Kyler Edwards.
Okay. What you got, Jacob?
See, I think I like what you're saying. I think actually that I have a feeling he's gonna go 4 small 1 big to start. So I got, originally earlier in the year, I kind of put an article out saying that Edwards is probably going to be a 6-man, but I don't know, man. I think Edwards and Moretti make a pretty dynamic scoring backcourt. So I think those two will probably start there. I got Jamias Ramsey. He'll probably be playing. I think he'll play a 3, but you know, he's a combo guard. So he can, and he's big. He's really bulky, so I think he'll be able to guard the small forward position. Then it's up in the. I got either McCullough or Clark starting at the four, or the other kind of the like true small forward, and then I got Holyfield starting at the five.
Well, I got to say, guys, out of the two that I heard, well, as it should be no surprise, but Jacob's a lot smarter than Dylan is. I got virtually the same thing. I think it'll be Rams. And I kind of agree with you initially that I thought that Kyler would be the sixth man. But I think with the whole Korpru situation.
Yeah.
And for those that don't know, so basically Deshaun Korpru right now is suspended. Title IX situation, very similar to Jet Duffy's. Don't know a lot of information about it, so we'll see. Chances he may get kicked off the team. Chances he may be suspended for a year. Chances he may be ready to go at the beginning of the year and start off with, but we don't know right now. So with that being said, because I did think Deshaun Korpru was a starter, with him not being there, I agree that I think it would probably you're probably looking at a Edwards Moretti situation starting in the backcourt, and then Jameis Ramsey, you just put him anywhere, you know. And I think that I don't think he'll necessarily be the point guard. I think you're likely still going to have Moretti running the offense. But I think you're going to have, especially with Edwards' defense, having those three right there on the wing will be kind of a three-guard set would be really, really good. And so from there, I think Holyfield's going to start at the five. I have no doubt about that. I think all three of us are in agreement on that. I think the question is the other position to where you virtually have four guys that could start, right? You got Chris Clark, who I think is probably your best, and he's probably the guy I would say is going to start only because he's a senior and Beard values that. But at the same time, Kevin McCullough could easily be the starter there. Terrence Shannon could easily be the starter there. And then Tyreek Smith could be the starter there. Now, I will say with Tyreek, I think he has a small frame. I think he's young. I think he has room to grow. So I actually don't think he's going to start right away. And he may not even get a lot of PT right away. I think you're more likely going to see Clark starting with McCullough off the bench as a sixth man. And then, you know, and that's what I think you're going to mostly see. Now, I will say this, that's a small lineup.
And hold on, let me interject here because you called me dumb and said Jacob was smarter than me. We're talking starters here. We're not talking about who's going to play minutes. We're talking starters. And Chris Beard has always started two bigs. Tariq Owens, Norris Odiasse. Zach Smith, Norris Odiasse. He starts two bigs. He's going to start two bigs.
Year before last, Odiasse only started like maybe the first 8 or 10 games and was thrown to the bench.
Well, so here's my other point is you're right. There's a good chance Kyler Edwards starts at the beginning of the season, but Jameis Ramsey's going to take that spot in 10 games.
I think Jameis Ramsey.
I think he's going to start right away. But Chris Beard does like experience, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Kyler Edwards and Moretti start. But Ramsey will claim his throne.
I don't think anyone's disputing that. I just think that you are right. He's always started two bigs, but.
I think there's no bigs to start. Is that
yeah, case? Exactly. And right. I also think that his most of the time last year, I mean, okay, a lot of the times in his first and second season, he went with two bigs a lot. But this last year, he didn't really. I mean, Odiasse and Owens would start and play, I think, a few more minutes after that. But I mean, for the majority of the game, they go with four guards, you know, with Jarrett Culver playing the four a lot of the time. And then they'd have either Owens or Odiasse out there.
That's the point I'm trying to make, is they're going to start two bigs, but that doesn't mean the two bigs are going to play the most.
Okay.
Because who did you have starting? You said Tyreek Smith, right?
No, and as soon as Jacob said Chris Clark, I was like, yeah, no, that kid's going to start.
Yeah, well, so Clark, the question is, what do you consider Clark? Right. So Clark's 6'6", a little over 200. 247 has him as a shooting guard, but he's not.
No, he's a power forward that is 6'6".
Yeah, so I guess that's more so what do you consider Clark? Because I actually kind of think that Clark will probably have a good chance to be a starter because he has that experience, because he's a high flyer. He's not necessarily a rim protector, but he's kind of built like Deshaun Korpru, and you could even argue he's a little more athletic. So I actually do think that Clark is going to be the main starter. Now, that still gives you a fairly small lineup. Like I said, you're going to be your 6'6 power forward. Even T.J. Holyfield is only 6'8". Yeah. Right? So that gives you that. So that's not really a big lineup per se.
In college, that's not a small lineup, though.
That's true. We're talking about Big 12 here, too, as well. So
the evolution of small ball, that's not a small lineup.
Well, so, but like, so, like, when we look at this, right? So, Moretti, so, Kyler is 6'4". Moretti is 6'2". Ramsey is 6'4". Clark 6'6". Holyfield 6'8". So, with, I agree that that's not necessarily, that's not a small lineup, but 6'2 to 6'8", five guys, kind of, you're trotting out, like, middling, when you're going up against teams like Kansas, like, you know, Duke, Kentucky, because that's where I'm putting Tech up now, right now, right?
Yeah.
You're going up against teams like Kansas, like Texas, like some of the better teams in the country, they're going to have the size. And that having a team that's 6'2 to 6'8 across the board is going to, you're going to struggle against teams with size, especially in the tournament.
Our second unit's going to have size, though. I mean, we talked about him, Russell Chua. That's a 7-footer. That's a big boy.
So do you, so I will say that. So do you think he'll play this year?
Yeah, he'll play. He won't start. He'll be the big off the bench.
Better. I know he's gotten better. I still question how much better he's gotten. We'll see that when it comes to Midnight Madness and the November games. We'll see how much playing time he gets. But I do question how much better he's gotten, how much more physical he's gotten, because a lot of the tapes from his junior years, he was a scrawny little thing. Tyreek Smith's a scrawny little thing right now, even though he's gained weight through the strength and conditioning program. It's one thing to gain weight and be big in the weight room, and it's another thing, as we've seen with Malik Ondigo, it's a completely different thing when you got a 7-footer backing you down, you know, and bodying you up. So those are kind of my questions when it comes to those guys in particular, is will they be able to match up when it comes to even having that second unit? Because if they're not big enough, I mean, Beard showed us, if you're not big enough, you can't handle the big boys, he's not going to play you.
See, I agree with you there. I think DeJay was actually going to play, and he's going to kind of do what he did with Malik Ondigo this year. Play him during the non-con, but whenever it gets to Big 12 play, I just don't think he's going to be developed enough. I think next year it's going to be, he might be your starting center, but this year there's just too many question marks around him for me to pencil him in as a solid rotation guy. I think your rotation guys coming off the bench are, you know, so to me, assuming that Clark, it's either Clark or McCullers, I think the other one's the sixth man, whoever doesn't start.
Yeah.
I
think we're glossing over the fact that who's our bench big? If it's not Chua, who's our bench big? Tyreek Smith?
You know who it probably is? It's a good chance it's Andre Saversol.
No.
I think
Jeremy, honestly, shut up. You're drunk.
It is a good chance it is. Like, look, yeah. He's been on campus for the past year. He is a guy that's big, like legit big. It's not even like tall. He's a big guy, right? Now, his biggest thing, I think, is that I don't think he's very talented. that's the thing with him. And I think he's just a big body, and that's about it. But I think there is something to it, to be said, the fact that virtually on Deagle is virtually kicked off the team because he's not good enough. And Bala was basically kicked off the team because he's not good enough. Kayvon Moore was basically sent away because there was not a spot in room for him, but Saversov wasn't, right? And yeah, I do think no. there's something to be said
Fair.
For
that. I think you're wrong about Kayvon Moore, but continue.
No, I think Kayvon Moore.
He was going home. That's all that was. He would start on this team tomorrow if he'd stayed.
Oh, I don't know, man.
He would be our starting power forward tomorrow if he'd stayed.
That's a conversation for another day, though. I don't think he would have.
My main point is that Saversov, I think there is, because he is a big body, I think there's his size is essential. So I think he becomes that bench big whenever. I'd rather, because the situation with the team, the way the team is now, you'll take Saversov's size, and you'll take his size over the potential of Tyreek Smith and Russell Chua this year.
Definitely.
Now, Saversov may not play pass this year.
That's
but
true.
This year, you'll take it.
Yeah, I think Saversov probably your bench big, and then I think Terrence Shannon will get some minutes. I think he'll get a lot of minutes, but I don't think you're going to see a lot of Tyreek Smith or Clarence Nadolny this year. I think both those guys are stash guys for next year. I think you may see some of Tchewa in the beginning, but once it's kind of like Malik Ondigo. Like, you know, if he comes out and he plays really, really physical and he's shown that he's developed, then I think he's your backup big. But, you know, if not, then I think it's probably going to be Saversov.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. So one thing I do find interesting, I'm looking through it now, is that what I said earlier, that San Francisco might play this year and not play after that. We're talking about a situation where we don't have many bigs right now. After this year, we're actually pretty legitly, you know, in a good position with our bigs. We'll have to replace TJ Holyfield because he'll be a senior. But Russell Tuchua should be better after this year. Tyreek Smith will be, you know, should be better after this year. We will still have Savrasov. We'll still have a lot of, you know, a lot of these players still ready and good to go. So I think our big situation actually will be in a much better situation going forward.
Agreed.
And it's important to say, like I said, we're gonna play small ball. I don't think we're gonna start with a small ball lineup.
Fair. That's fair.
No, it's not fair. See, y'all, you're playing too nice, Jacob. All right, tell him his takes are trash. All right, and you know, just stop watching the sport.
I will kick you off this pod right now.
I'll say this: I don't think Tyreek Smith sees the floor this year unless it's garbage time.
Ooh, you don't think he sees it at all?
Lies and deceit.
See, I really like him as a prospect. I just don't think he's big enough yet. I think if they're going to put him at a big position, I think Beard wants him to bulk up a little bit.
He gained 15 pounds in 3 weeks.
Okay, true. That is true.
Just but saying.
I mean, it's not just that. It's just, I just have a feeling that, you know, kind of like
Sam's West food.
Yeah. Sam's West is the bomb, man. So it's just
Sam's West.
I just don't feel like he's going to get too much playing time just between, you know, Beard really only probably playing two or three bigs. I think he's the fourth, third or fourth. So he may see the court if he's more developed than Savrasov and Shewa, but I just don't think he's gonna be come game time in November.
So I'm gonna toss y'all a curveball here because we didn't talk about this pre-pod, but I definitely want to bring this up. So as we kind of put close to the 2019 recruiting season, all the guys are already in Lubbock. They're already practicing for the season and things like that. Let's take a little look in 2020. As right now, there are no commits for 2020. Dylan, I don't know if you've looked into recruiting at all. Give me one guy that you see as a potential Red Raider going forward.
Oh, I'm so unprepared for this question. I have no answer.
Okay, never mind. Jacob, you give me one guy. I know you're
prepared. Let me see. I am prepared. Hold on. Let me.
As long as you don't steal my
guy. You can't say you're prepared and say, hold on.
Hold on. My man, he's in town right now, as a matter of fact. He's in town on an unofficial visit. My man, Micah Peavy, man.
That's a great answer.
That's literally, I set that's this the up answer. For y'all to also not say anything, and I can come in like a genius. Okay?
No, I think Micah Peavy's the guy coming in next year. So I think Jemias is going to work on him, man. It's going to be.
I got a buddy who's been watching a lot of Jameis Ramsey. He's been going to like a lot of Duncanville games and everything like that. And he actually used to coach one of the players on Duncanville's team. And so I'm actually the one that told him, like, hey, man, what do you think about Micah Peavin? He was like, he was like, Mike is good, but he ain't coming to Tech. It was like a year ago. He's like, well, he ain't coming to Tech, though. I'm like, oh, we'll see about that. So Micah Peavin, he's a guy that's improved drastically in the past year, 2 years, right? And he helped lead Duncanville along with Jameis Ramsey. They were the 1-2 punch at Duncanville. And he honestly, Tech was not on Micah Peavin's radar a year ago. Yeah. I don't think Tech was on Micah Peavy's like legit radar. I mean, Tech has always been like top 10, but I don't think we were on his legit radar up until maybe a month or two ago. And now I think we have every chance to get him as anybody else. And that would be, I think, a very nice get. Right now he's a 4-star. Won't surprise me if he becomes a 5-star by this time next year.
He is visiting Texas as well. Just saying.
Yeah. But well, so Texas is most likely to get him.
I don't think so. I think we're most likely to get him. I totally forgot about this kid, but you're right. Like the connection with Jameis Ramsey and like the success Chris Beard has had with forward. I like it. Crystal ball, Texas Tech.
So I will say one other guy I do want to bring up, but Jonathan Aku.
That was my other name, probably.
Yeah, so Jonathan Aku, he's another rising star, another big, would be a big get. But his process is very early. I have zero idea where he's going to go. whatsoever. I know U of H is recruiting him pretty tough.
Yeah.
I know Baylor's recruiting him pretty tough. So we'll see. But he's another, I think, guy that Beard's going to put us all into.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it is the NBA draft just happened. It is NBA free agency season, SZN. And with Tech's basketball renaissance, for us right now, Summer League is the biggest thing. So first off, before we even get to the Summer League thing, what did y'all think? Jarrett Culver getting drafted. He is going to be – I think he got a great situation. What do y'all think?
I agree. I mean, I honestly think the Timberwolves are going to trade Andrew Wiggins, get that contract off their slate. I think he comes in to a good – I mean, of course, you know, they haven't really been able to capitalize on it. I think they come in – he's coming into a good situation with Karl Anthony Towns and everyone they have on that roster, a lot of young talent that he can kind of grow with. I honestly didn't – of course, no one really predicted him to go to Minnesota because they, you know, they had a trade-up to get him. But I think he landed in a really good situation.
I didn't even get a workout with Minnesota. Like, I don't even think he really talked to them. That's a crazy thing about it.
Well, I think they saw him at, what was it, 5 or 6?
He got drafted 6.
They saw him slip past 4 and 5, and they're like, oh, okay, well. They saw value in him at 6, and he really fits what they're doing there. You know, they play good defense, Tom Thibodeau. Like, he's in a really good situation with a lot of young players, and it looks like he's got a decent shot to start right away.
Yeah, I think so.
And that's one thing that's really good. They said that I think he was 5th. On their big board. He was 5th on their big board. And the first 4 guys got drafted. So they were trying to trade the pick away. Nobody bit. So they were like, all right, let's just get the guy that's highest on our big board. And they got him. I agree with you, Dylan, that I do think that there's a very good chance he starts. Because, I mean, luckily with him and how his position is he can play the 2 or 3. And so if you have Wiggins still there, he can still easily play the 3. You know, he can easily play the 3 if Wiggins isn't there. I think if Wiggins is not there, Culver could be a star on this team.
Like I said, I think they're going to trade him away.
I think they're going to try to trade him away, but nobody wants that contract.
I will say
they can try. It ain't going to happen.
So I don't think the trading away is. I don't think them wanting to trade away is the problem here.
Insert the gif of Magic just nodding no with a big smile on his face.
Yeah.
I think the main thing with Culver here is, and I think one of the reasons why they drafted him is they want him to instill a culture. I mean, the problem, one of the biggest problems with the Timberwolves is that they're all lazy. In every single one of them, the exception of maybe Derek, except Derek Rose, shockingly enough, is lazy.
But he's gone.
He's gone to Detroit.
And he just left. Yeah. So like they're lazy. And so that's the main thing is I think he'll instill a little bit of work ethic onto the team. That the rest of them don't have, because Jarrett Culver doesn't have God-given God-given talent and skill that Andrew Wiggins has. Right, his main thing is that he works harder than everybody else in the gym,
and he's not athletic as a guy like Zaire Smith from last year.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think basically you're getting Jimmy Butler without Jimmy Butler's attitude.
Jimmy Butler is a great comp for Jarrett Culver.
Yeah,
like the perfect 2-3, plays defense, works really hard. Yes, I love that comparison. Yeah,
except you're not getting a guy that's gonna like chew everybody's head off like that.
I loved that story though. I was fascinated.
Yeah. Did you see the Game of Zones episode about it?
Yeah.
So you do have Jarrett Culver getting drafted by the Timberwolves. Now he was the only Red Raider drafted, but not the only Red Raider getting a contract. Did y'all see the video of Tyreek Owens getting signed?
Yes.
Chilling at the house with some Crown Apple.
Yeah.
Shots. So Tariq Owens, he did end up getting signed by, as I pull it up right now,
Suns.
Phoenix Suns.
Tariq Owens did get signed by the Suns. And when you're an undrafted free agent, at that point, I really don't care where, fit and all that other jazz, just get signed by someone. But he got a little kick.
He got a legit contract. He's not going to play in the Summer League, though. He's still rehabbing from that ankle injury.
But I think that brings up an interesting point. For the Suns to go and sign him, knowing he's not going to play in Summer League, means they obviously believe in him.
Yeah, Oh, yeah, for sure. And I, yeah. It makes me wonder if he wasn't injured, if he would have been drafted. Right? Like, yeah. I looked at Tariq Owens at the end of the year and was like, man, this I would draft him. Like,
absolutely.
Not even in a situation like that. Like, he is legitimately one of the best 60 prospects there is. There is. And so, but him getting signed, he's going to be the two-way player for the Suns, a legit guaranteed contract. And actually, in his situation, it's better to be an undrafted free agent and get a legit contract than a second-round pick, right?
Yeah,
you're much definitely. More likely to get guaranteed money as an undrafted free agent than a second round, than a late second round pick. So, so great, great stuff for Tariq. Matt Mooney is going to be on the Atlanta Hawks summer league roster.
Yeah, we were talking about that pre-pod actually. It looks like he might get to start at point guard for the summer league. Yeah, they have like, what was it? I think 7 or 8 bigs, and then
he's the only guard listed on their summer league roster right now.
True guard, because they have a bunch of bigs, and then Cam Reddish, DeAndre Hunter, and him, and Mooney. That's it.
And one thing is, if he can shine, especially next to Cam Reddish, I think that'll be really big. If he can outshine Cam Reddish, that'll be really big for him as well.
Yeah.
You know, I think with Matt Mooney, you might see a situation similar to Keenan Evans, to where he signs a summer league deal, and then after a week of summer league, he gets a legit contract.
I think that's exactly what happens with Matt Mooney. Like, the Hawks are loaded with young talent, so it doesn't make me optimistic that he'll make that roster, but I have a pretty good feeling he'll make someone else's. Because he worked out for like 13 teams. He worked out with way many more teams than Tariq Owens did.
Yeah, but if you think about with Matt Mooney, though, is he kind of is perfect for offense. Like, he's a guy that can shoot the rock, plays great defense. That's one thing they need if they don't have any good defenders on the team. So he plays really good defense, and he can shoot today. So if Trae Young is on a fast break, he's a perfect guy to be right there for him. He's a perfect guy to pair with Trae Young, too. So, you know, watch out for Matt Mooney. That's all I'm going to say with him. I think he's going to have a really good season in the G League next year, because I do think he'll play in the G League.
Yeah, agreed.
So, I mean, worst come to worst, he could always be drafted in the G League also. Okay, so speaking of Summer League, or speaking of the G League and guys that shine in the G League last year, shine in the Summer League last year, we got Keenan Evans will be back. Keenan Evans had a kind of a tumultuous year last year after being signed to the Pistons as a two-way player, then playing most of the season on their G League team, then getting cut by the Pistons, then being on the 76ers G League team. He's now a free agent and just got signed to the Memphis Grizzlies Summer League team. So I actually do expect him to play quite a bit for the Grizzlies Summer League team. And also, I don't know if he counts, but Dusty Hannes also will be on the Grizzlies Summer League team. I really don't care for Dusty Hannes. So.
Wow. But, apparently, I'm the only one in our Slack channel who gives a crap about Dusty Hannes. He was the best shooter on Texas Tech's roster 5 years ago.
Yeah, when Tech was like the worst team in college basketball. Who cares?
Even the worst team in college basketball. We weren't great. But
no, we were legitimately.
Hey, I'm pretty sure, and I'm not 100% on this, but he was one of the best shooters in the D League last season from downtown.
Yes, he was.
Like, the dude is cold from downtown. Albie, you're a hater.
He's not a Red Raider. He's a Razorback.
He was like, for 3 years. He was a grad transfer, and Tubby Smith left.
Screw Dusty Hannes.
Who wants to play for Chris Walker? Nobody.
Yeah.
What's his name that got Larry Brown fired? Did? but I don't care about no Dusty Hannes. You know, forget that. No, he can. He's fine. He's a Razorback. They can claim him.
I also want to say Keenan Evans killed in G League last year for the 76ers, playing alongside Zaire. So I bet you he shows up in Summer League.
I hope so.
I think so.
Second year guys a lot of the times do really well in summer league play. I think he'll legit. I think both him and Hannes actually will get a lot of playing time with the Grizzlies summer league team. The Grizzlies are a team that, and you picked a great one to be a part of, because the Grizzlies are a team with a lot of holes, a lot of open spots. They don't know what the hell they're going to do next year. They know that they have two stars going forward in John Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. And Valanciunas is pretty good too. But outside of those three, like, they have just a team full of guys.
essentially.
And Keenan Evans bought out against Javon Carter before, so now they'll basically be playing together. So that'll be interesting. But and last but not least, a guy I definitely want to talk about, Zaire Smith. We already kind of brought him up. And apparently, and I didn't even know this until pre-pod, he is not even going to be playing on the 76ers Summer League team. That is actually a very glowing thing about him. You know, the fact that they don't feel the need to him to play in the Summer League, that means they're very confident in him. What are we going to see with Zaire from Zaire in year two?
Well, I don't know. If Houston gets Jimmy Butler, I think he has a good chance to start.
Or Miami. Miami can get
good. Or Miami, or Los Angeles. Yeah.
It does look like Jimmy Butler's probably going to leave Philly. The only thing about Jimmy Butler leaving Philly is that literally everywhere he wants to go can't sign him outright.
Yeah.
So you kind of need cooperation from people because, you know, from the 76ers. But I mean, I will say with Jimmy Butler leaving, because there's a good chance that'll happen, it does free up more room for Zaire to be successful. It does also look like Tobias Harris may be leaving too, which frees up even more room for Zaire to be successful. Playing that three, playing that two or three. I think that one thing is he would match perfectly in the backcourt with Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I think so.
Put a guy like Zaire who can jump out of the building and can shoot next to a guy that can't shoot to save his life. That works. So,
I'll say, I think it's interesting. It kind of goes back to Tariq Owens. Like, the fact that he's not playing Summer League means that they really like him. And Brett Brown has been on the record. Like, they really like Zaire. So I think what this means is, like, he had a tumultuous season last year. Like, he had some severe allergies, lost a bunch of weight, was injured. Like, I think what they've seen enough from him to know that they like what they have in him and they want to save him, which is great for Zaire.
So Philadelphia is basically going to have a really good defensive team next year with Zaire. And so I'm really excited for his future. I'm excited for really all the guys' future. Culver, Owens, Zaire, Keenan Evans.
Matt Mooney, the Wakanda kid.
Any chance we see some Zach Smith?
I think there's a chance. I mean, he played all right in the G League last year. I think, you know, some NBA teams haven't released their roster yet, but I think we may see him, but I have a feeling he's probably going to end up going overseas.
There's a lot of room left on Summer League rosters, so we'll see.
There is. We'll see.
And so before we get off, where do y'all think – let me get back to Culver. What is Culver's – what do you think Culver's career goes from here? Do you think he's going to be an all-star? He wasn't ever expecting the draft. So you think he's going to be an all-star, future all-star? Do you think he's going to be, you know, end up being Kawhi Leonard? Winning a championship for his future team, the Houston Rockets. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. I think he has a pretty high ceiling. I don't know if he'll be a superstar, but I feel like he'll be a guy that's going to end up developing a really good jump shot. Guy that's, you know, already has that defense instilled in him. So I think he'll end up being a really good three and D kind of guy that can play both ends and be really solid. I think he'll be a good Jimmy Butler, like Jimmy Butler, essentially. I think he can be really good.
I don't know if I see all-star for Jarrett Culver, but I see a guy who's going to teeter on that line a bit. I think he could be pretty close, and 3-and-D players are so valuable in the NBA nowadays. I think he's going to be a great Robin to Batman, who's Karl Anthony Towns. Like, those two are going to be the centerpiece of the Timberwolves going forward.
So I've always thought that, and hopefully he proves me wrong. I think Culver's floor is very high. Like, I don't think he's going to be a bad player because he works too hard to be a bad player, right? So I think his floor is very high. I just don't think his ceiling is that high either. Like, I think he'll be a 10-year, 12-year starting player. I think you're always going to know who Jarrett Culver is. I think that he's going to make a lot of money in his career, right? I think his dad may have to move the church that he has in Lubbock to Minnesota. I think he's going to be a very, very, and he may even be a Timberwolf for a long time. I think he's going to be a fan favorite. I just don't think he's going to be an all-star. I think he's going to be one of those guys that 8 years from now, he's going to win a championship or it's going to come close to it. And there are people going to talk about trading him. And he's going to be one of those guys that you say, oh, we can't trade him. He's the glue, right? like, as a Rockets fan, that's the situation we're having right now with P.J. Tucker. Like, that's kind of how I see Jarrett Culver, one of those glue guys, one of those Pat Beverly types. Like, oh, you can't get rid of him. He's the glue. But I don't think he's going to be a guy that you're like, oh, he's a star that you have to go out and get, or a star you have to make sure you keep. And then that's kind of where I am with him. I just don't see that in him. I think the hitch in his shot is something that's going to keep him from really being a volume scorer. And at this level, so that's kind of why I have him, but hopefully prove me wrong.
I think the only knock on Jarrett Culver is he's not like one of the top 10 athletes in the NBA. Like, he's not freakishly athletic like Zaire was.
The hitch in his shot is definitely, I think I was going to be a
problem. Yeah, his shot needs some fixing. Yeah, but I think even like what we've seen like pre-draft, I think his shot's already on the way to being fixed. Yep,
exactly. I agree.
We'll see. I've never been a fan of saying like shots can, because just like shots can be quote unquote fakes, they can be broken too.
Kawhi didn't have a jump shot before he entered the NBA. Not a mid range. Nothing.
No, that's different. No, Kawhi's shot improved. That it didn't get like it didn't completely change.
If you go look at him in college, that dude didn't take a jump shot to save his life.
Yeah, because he sucked at it.
And now he's great at it. Jump shots can be learned. Athleticism cannot.
No, what I'm saying is that Jarrett Culver has a jump shot that needs to, but for him to be a volume scorer, a 25 points per game type of guy, his shot itself needs to be fixed.
Like Culver will never be a volume scorer. That's not his identity.
How can he be an all-star averaging 50
points? I never said he was going to be an all-star.
You just said he was teetering on it.
Yeah, exactly. He'll never take the shots to be an all-star. But yeah. That's kind of where I'm at.
Dylan, you're the worst.
All right, I need a new host for my podcast. Albie's fired.
Once again, I'll take his spot.
Once again,
you're hired.
Well, guys, me and Dylan are gonna continue this back and forth post pod, where I continually tell him that he is wrong and I am right, as always, as you all always know. But Dylan, where can people find your bad takes on the internet?
You know, I don't even want to point them to my bad takes. I'm gonna completely ignore my personal Twitter. Go and follow the Air Raid Podcast Twitter at Air Raid Podcast. If you're listening and not following, you're doing yourself a disservice. The three voices you're hearing now are the three voices you'll hear on that Twitter account. So give us a follow,
please.
What about you, Jacob?
People can always find me at Jacob Harris _55. As always, since I changed my Twitter name because someone bullied me into it.
As always, guys, I fix lives for the better. So you can find my wonderful tweets at Mr_IllBeSure. And I like Dylan said before, at Air Raid Podcast. And always follow at View of the Matadors. For Dylan, for Jacob, this is Albie. You've been listening to the Air Raid Podcast, been by View of the Matadors and SB Nation. As always, stay wrecked, people.